Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's a Mean Green Nation podcast, but it's also meaning that it's a Mean Green Nation podcast on this day. Not quite the sunny, bright day that we wanted it to be. You know, the clouds are gone. It's nice and clear. It's a sunny day, but it's like 40 degrees here. And I feel like that's kind of my feeling right now, right? North Texas is 16-2. You know, but they just lost. Kind of a heartbreaking loss. Also, the Cowboys lost, which kind of puts a damper on everybody and everything. Also, the Spurs lost, and I'm a Spurs fan. So, not the greatest Saturday, although I had a good time with my family. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a special treat for you today. I got Mr. Greg on the call. You know, he was busy doing big deals, the best deals, the most important work, hither and thither. And I stopped him and said, "Sir, can I bother you on a Sunday morning to talk about Mean Green basketball?" And he said yes, for a rather large sum of money, I think, is what he's expecting. I'm not going to give him that, though. But here he is. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm a little triste over here, you know. Cowboys lost. Spurs lost. Mean Green lost.
Yeah, I'm happy the Cowboys lost. I could live with
Yeah, I know you feel like
that makes today a little bit better for me.
I know you feel like life is going well for you, right? You got Freddie Kitchens out there, going to be your head coach for the Clevelands.
I got the Baker and the Kitchens. I got it all working.
That's good. That's the other thing too. I was like, you know, like people were complaining. Oh, Cowboys! They won 10 games. They won a playoff game, and they were within one possession of in the divisional round. You know. Was it 29 teams lose every season that don't win the title? I think you got to find a way to be happy. And I want to say that. I say that because I think a lot of people know, you know, the feeling that's fresh in everybody's mind. Because I want to apply that to the basketball team. Now, if you don't know, North Texas is 16-2, best start in program history. They did lose. And I know a lot of people have been waiting for the bad news to come. They're like, yeah, they won. And if you've been paying attention, you know that North Texas hasn't had the greatest schedule, played a lot of patsies. They've won. I think they're good. I know you think they're good, and we're going to get into detail about how exactly that is or what exactly makes them good. So we'll talk about that in a second. They did lose to UTSA, who is an improving team. They're right in the same tier with North Texas last year. You can say they're about in the same kind of position, a young, talented team that's with a good coach trying to impose their system so that they're good. I will say definitively that Javon Jackson traveled. I saw that in the game. I was on the opposite side of the court. I was like, that's a travel. Then he made it, and, you know, whatever. The game ended a second later. But the dude traveled. That didn't lose us the game. It was just kind of one more indicator that maybe the refs weren't wearing green glasses out there, you know what I'm saying?
The referees were definitely not on top of their game yesterday. And I don't even think that was the most egregious call. I thought that the foul on Ryan, the charge call, I thought that was just awful. Because Wallace was falling down already, and he fouled him before Ryan created the contact, and that was just, to me, that was the game change.
Yeah, I think you know, the thing to take away from basketball losses, especially regular season basketball losses, is that if it's a road game, you know, like it reduces your chances of winning. If it's a conference game, I think that reduces your chances of winning. And kind of depending on what the time of the week. I think I was more scared about the UTEP game just because it's like you haven't played since Saturday and then you got to travel, you know, to El Paso midweek. That's real tough, right? And then you don't know what happens. Maybe they come up with a couple of new plays. Just weird stuff happens. But you saw last night, was it UTEP? I think that dude caught the turnaround jumper, won the game.
Yeah. Talk about the weirdest place to inbound. You know, UTEP, the full court length pass from the corner baseline, throwing that pass in, and Rice not covering the guy, and he had the open shot, knocks it down, Gabe Winder.
Yeah, I mean, it almost happened the same way. I think the 3 o'clock time is weird for everybody, like the little afternoon start. A lot of stuff went in. I'm disappointed it didn't play well. And I know that's something that's been happening past few games, almost in conference play, just all of conference play, we can say that. Turnovers, right? What have you seen that you dislike?
The turnovers, definitely number one, the sloppiness of play. Seems like they've kind of rushed through their offense a little bit. The slow starts on the road. But each game, they've always hit that one little spurt, little stretch. You know, luckily they had it at the end of the game yesterday, which gave them a chance to you know, take it into overtime or have a chance to win. You know, we had the big against Louisiana Tech. We got out fast, let them come back, let Southern Miss come back. But, you know, I think the thing that I dislike the most is, like I said, turnovers number one. And then there's a group of guys out on the floor, and each one of them, you know, we're the most balanced team in Conference USA. We have the most depth in Conference USA as far as scores. But when it comes down to crunch time, who's that number one dude? Who's the guy that could take over a game? And we haven't seen that yet. And my hot take of the morning, starting it off, is the only way this team gets to the NCAA tournament, wins a conference championship, if Rose returns to what he was last year. He has to be – he doesn't have to score every game like he did last year, but he has to have that ability to. I think we started to see it a little bit yesterday. It seemed like he was a little bit sharper, a little bit quicker off the bounce. But the only way this team gets to the tournament is if he's able to light it up.
Yeah, just for comparison, he was a 20-point per game score. Was like 19.3 or something like that. And I think this year, somewhere around 10. And he's kind of – he was working his way back in, but I think he's played enough games now that we can say, okay, we need you to score a little bit better. I think his offensive rating is down. It was like 110 last year. This year's like 97, but in conference plays at 115. He's getting there. He's getting back. He scored 18 yesterday on 5-of-9 shooting, but I don't know if it was the same because he went off last year in San Antonio. It wasn't quite the same, and I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. He was like, I like a Roosevelt Smart that catches it and lets it fly, or catches it and attacks the basket. And I think yesterday he was catching it, pump faking, taking a dribble, and then trying to decide if he wanted to do a step back or if he wanted to drive in. And when he drove in, it didn't seem like he wanted to score at the rim. It seemed like he wanted to pass or dump it off. And I think all that hesitancy cost him. You know, he turned the ball over a couple of times or got stuck in the middle and, you know, threw a shot up, but it wasn't a shot that he was confident in or anybody else.
But it seems like a lot of the guys are playing hesitant as we got into conference play. They're not – it's not that CBI team where it was free-flowing, just let it fly. You talk about Rose. It seems like every time he touches the ball, it's a pump fake. Mm-hmm. Almost every single guy that touches the ball, it's a pump fake and a dribble and a pass. You know, I want to see more just take the shot when you get it. We've done so much pump faking that the defenders, the teams that are scouting us, they have to know the pump fake's coming. So now just take the shot. You know, I know we're the smallest team, you know, one of the smallest teams in college basketball. And that's why they do that, because they're trying to create that advantage. And Grant wants them to get to the basket. That's, you know, number one is get into the lane. They've got to do that more. They're best at when they operate inside out, when they drive and kick. You know, those type of threes, those are the ones that we have to see more of. But, you know, I just want to see this team play confident. Doesn't seem that they've played confident since they've gotten in Conference USA basketball.
Yeah, and so let's talk a little bit about what makes them good. You talked about their depth. Ryan Woolridge, still good. If you don't know him, he's the light-skinned point guard dude, number zero. And he's quick. He can get to the lane. I think my biggest gripe with him is that he can't make free throws at the rate that – man, if he made free throws at, like, say, 75% rate, 80% rate, you know, one, he'd average almost 20 points a game. I think he'd be more confident attacking the basket, which he's great at. I think I thought he could get to the rim anytime he wanted, you know, yesterday. And, you know, just kind of to compliment what we were saying, too many pump fakes. When they were down 9 and they said, okay, we need to come back, they were the aggressors, catching and shooting and also getting to the rim. And then, hey, 9-point lead erased. They played so much better when they played, you know, confidently because they had to. They're like, all right, we're losing. We need to shoot the ball. But, yeah, so Ryan Woolridge is getting to the line. Getting to the lane, getting buckets. And he got fouled a couple times, and he missed a couple, like down the stretch.
Yeah, he missed a couple midway. I guess it was under 8. He got fouled. He missed 2, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. I wish he was a better free throw shooter. But other than that, he's was he a 60% shooter right now? Is that what he is? Yeah, I'm looking at his stats right now. Yeah, he can get to the lane. He's good. Roosevelt Smart, I think a lot of you remember him. He scored, 42, 40-something against Rice last season. He can shoot it. He's still a shooter. He hit 5 last game, even though I felt like he struggled in that game. But then I looked up, and I was like, yeah, he has 18. He led the team in scoring. He can get to the lane. I think it was last year against UTEP. He did that statue dunk on him on a fast break. Good size, good dunker if he has a runway. But we want him shooting jumpers, shooting threes, and we don't really need him pump faking. Mike Miller, he's a guy that switched hands. Everybody remembers him. He can score in the lane. He has a nice little array of post moves. I'm continually surprised by his little array in there.
He had a tough game yesterday. It just, that was probably the worst game that he's played all season. He's been the most consistent out of all the starters, just as far as what he's done offensively and defensively. Yesterday, he didn't have it. And that's, it could be a reason why they lost. He's been their most clutch player. Mm-hmm. When they've needed a basket, he's been the guy that's gotten the basket. Indiana State, the game against Southern Miss, where he had the layup at the end of the game. So he's been the most clutch player. Like, he just had a tough game yesterday. But like you said, he's undersized. He plays the 4 or the power forward for us. And they said on the broadcast, he's the smallest starting power forward in the country because he's only 6'3".
And then he's 180 or something? Maybe.
He plays bigger than the 6'3". Like you said, he gets into the post. Being at 6'3" and having a power forward or a 4 he's able to use his speed and quickness to drive and get in the lane and then use his little post moves and go to work. And then he could also knock down the outside shot.
Yeah, because he's ambidextrous, that helps him in the post. Like, he can finish either way. I think a lot of people don't understand that when there's a lot of technique about being inside. It's not really just being bigger. You know, it's not like I'm a 7-year-old and you're a 3-year-old and I dunk on you on my play school rim. There's a lot of technique involved in there, and just the balance of going up with your left hand versus your right hand. It's a world of difference. And I posted about Zachary Simmons and how good he has been. Just a little, set the team record in field goal percentage last year, and he's on pace to break it this one. A lot of that is because he can finish with either hand, and Mike Miller can do a lot of those same things, and that's huge. And so he's very skilled.
Yeah, Simmons has been outstanding too. I mean, yeah. I jumped out of my seat when he blocked the shot yesterday because not a lot of people, I think, noticed how he was going to block the shot with his right hand, and Jackson switched to his right hand and was going for the reverse layup. And then Simmons switched back to his left hand to block it. That's tough. You don't think about, when you're out there playing, that's hard to think about. And, you know, for all those people who don't know, if you're going to block a shot and a guy goes up with his right hand, it's easier to block it with your left hand. You get 6 inches more extension on your block. And, that was the difference on that play right there. So there's been little things that he's done, like you said, with the footwork and his hands on inside. There's been so many different plays where it's just been such a joy to watch him play basketball because he's come so far from his freshman year already to a sophomore year, and he's a big reason why they're 16-2 and have a chance to be one of the top teams in the conference, because not a lot of teams out there in Conference USA have a big guy like we do.
Yeah, in college basketball, you get big guys, and they're really just there to set screens. And maybe get a rebound that falls to him. But if they get the ball and they have to do something with it, it's kind of hit or miss. But with Zach, you know, like I think a couple of times these little guys are driving and they're dropping it off to him and he can finish around the rim. Like that's huge. It's automatic points if you just put it in his hands. He got a nice little soft touch there. He's improving defensively. You know, like I said, you can see all the little things that he does well that when he doesn't get the ball, the way he sets the screen, he sets good screens, he moves, he flashes, you know, gets open, seals on the backside when the ball moves on the side. Those are huge things, and that changes the defense for a guy. So even if he didn't touch the ball, because he was stealing and because he was open, it makes the defense scramble, and maybe that makes an open three-point attempt for Emoji Gibson or something like that. And you're like, well, you know, well, he didn't score on that one. So yeah, but he did the work to create. He's on the backside. You know, a lot of stuff happens, and he does a great job. I agree with you.
Teams are having to double-team him in the post. UTSA yesterday had to double-team him to start the game. That was the emphasis that UNT started out with. They said, we're going to get the ball into Zach because they don't have a guy that can guard him. They really didn't. But UTSA did a good job of, you know, on their double teams and not allowing the quick pass. If I had one thing for Zach, he just needs to speed it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like he thinks a little bit too much with some of his moves. But still, I'm not going to hate much on him because he's come so far. And if we get to the NCAA tournament, he's going to be a big reason why.
Yeah, and he did a good job catching it, drawing the double team, and finding a passer. He found Roosevelt Smart for the first game-tying three-pointer to tie it up at 71. It was like 2:40 left. He caught it, kicked it out, three-point shot. He's been great. North Texas is a good basketball team. And like I said, we're not very big, as you said, and I like the way they play. Like everybody's playing together. They're like gang rebounding. I think we out rebounded UTSA.
Dominated. Past two games, they've dominated on the board. They're one of the better rebounding teams in the country. And it starts with Zach, but you know the guards themselves too. They do a great job rebounding.
Yeah, I think as you said. So what happened? Why did they lose yesterday? They turned the ball over. They were a little hesitant on offense. And they had some poor communication and transition defense. Some of those early timeouts that Coach Mack called, he was yelling at Mike Miller. Like I said, he was like, what do you got to get here? Or little things that caused a turnover. Lot of room for improvement. Also, Emoji Gibson has no qualms about letting it fly, but he was 1-9 from three-point land. If two more of those fall, we win this game. Just the whole thing's different. It was just a tough night for him.
I've said it a bunch of times before. In conference play, it doesn't matter what conference you're in. If you go on the road and you start slow or you play sluggish or you turn the ball over, you could be the number one team in the country playing, you know, number 320. You're gonna have a chance to lose. You've got to bring it. You know, UTSA was fired up. They knew North Texas was receiving votes in the AP. They knew they were 16-1 and undefeated. And everybody thought that they were probably going to beat UTSA. So they had motivation there. And North Texas just came out, played flat. They probably wished they had the game back and that they should have won. But, I mean, you have to bring it. When you go on the road in conference play, you've got to bring it.
Yeah. I wrote in at least on Conference USA report, that this week was always going to be tough. Traveling to El Paso is tough. Like I said, going to San Antonio, you know, it's an ugly gym, blah, blah, blah. Yes, all that is true. But last year, Marshall, Western Kentucky, both lost on the road in San Antonio. And I mean, it just, that UTSA knows how they want to play and it's always tough playing a team. Like a team gets like, you know, like let's say 3% faster, even if they're slow, small, whatever, if they know what they want to do, and UTSA does, then, you know, they're tough to guard. And it makes them just, you know, like I said, 3% faster. They know what they want to do. They know how they want to play. And yeah, North Texas did a great job defensively in some aspects, making UTSA cycle through the possessions. Like they don't really want to give the ball to Nick Allen or the Fronin kid or any of these other guys. They want to push it. They want Keaton Wallace to fire threes. They want Javon Jackson to fire threes. Javon Jackson went 0-4 from three. We chased him off the line, made him make plays. He made some plays late. He did a good job attacking off the dribble, which I think we can learn from. The ball went out to him. Instead of pulling up, he caught it, attacked the rim, got easy layups late. And he made, you know, a miracle shot in the, you know, the rest didn't call that travel. But that's the game. You don't want to, like, what was it, 10% of this game is luck, right? Ball bounces one way, a tip pass goes left, it goes out of bounds versus right to your teammate. You know, the ball bounces off the rim, goes in versus out. You know, 10% of this game is luck. And what you don't want to do is just leave it all up to chance, right? If you're the better team, you want to give yourself a chance to win. It was a tough game, whatever. I like that the team fought back, that they, you know, they stayed in it mentally. It's real easy to be like, ah, it's a tough game. Well, we'll just get them the next time. Let's move on to the next one. But they played. They played hard. I thought our coaching staff was still trying to win it, still trying to come back, down 10, 5 minutes left. And I thought the players were in it. I appreciate all of that. And it came down to one possession, right? I mean, I think I say that because, you know, we saw some Tony Bradford teams that feel like after week one, they're like, eh, season's not really going too well. Maybe it's time to pack it up. So
those were the two best coach teams in Conference USA. Those are the two top coaches in Conference USA, in my opinion, Henson and McCaslin. And just thinking about it, UTSA is paying their guy like $300,000, something like that.
Yeah.
But if I was, you know, there was one thing that kind of stood out to me that I wish Grant and the coaching staff, if they go back and look at the film, there's one thing that stood out I wish they would have attacked more, and that was Jackson on defense. I don't think he wanted to guard anybody yesterday. Hmm. He couldn't guard anybody yesterday. I would have tried to definitely, whoever he was guarding, that would have been my guy to go to the basket.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, I thought Ryan Woolridge, because I don't, like UTSA was kind of playing, they kind of switched up their defense a couple times. They played a lot of men. But yeah, I agree with you. I thought that Ryan could get to the, he could get to the basket anytime he wanted. The problem is that he's not a great 3-point shooter, so they sag off of him a lot, right? So it's better if he has a ball in transition, he has a little head of steam, then he can get to the rim that way. But I agree with you. I think you know, I'm being paid $0 to analyze the game, but I think what you kind of try to do is figure out a way to get Ryan Woolridge the ball going to the basket against their weakest defender. Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, due to the wacky Conference USA scheduling, we don't have a home game with them scheduled. But I do think that if we get into that top five, the top pod, which I think we'll be, and I think UTSA will be, I think probably the way the conference will do it is we'll get to play them at home.
That'd be nice. I'd like to get them at home. They're a good team. I think I have the same respect. I think a lot all across the league, a lot of the bloggers all think that Steve Henson's a good. I mean, he won what, Coach of the Year last year, right? So it's not like he's a hipster pick, right? I think people think he's good. But yeah, McCaslin and Henson are good. And you know, like if you're kind of wondering, like, well, are we gonna beat some of these other teams? Old Dominion. 2-2. They lost to Florida Atlantic on the road, and they squeaked by FIU the other day. I think that one's a little scary for us because I think we play pretty deliberately. You know, we're not pushing up the floor, get high, just running and gunning kind of team. And UTSA is. And what was there, 78 possessions in that game? FIU, who we play at the end of the scheduled games in February, they are like that, and we play them away. That's going to be a tough game. I think we got to just, you know, be concerned about that game. Just they are – it's a, the guy that is a Shaka Smart disciple, right, the new head coach out there in, at Florida International.
Yeah, well, Shaka can't coach much either, so.
Well, you know what I'm saying. They play that, like, havoc. They like to press. They like to, you know, whatever. There's a lot of different styles in this league, and I think if you're, you know, you're a college basketball fan, you can see some of the young up-and-coming coaches. I think a lot of people like the Rice coach, but they're just not talented yet. Charlotte.
Louisiana Tech has a good coach.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, so Western Kentucky,
if
Marshall.
If I was power ranking this morning after what happened yesterday, I'd probably go Western Kentucky. I still think they're the most talented team, even though they lost to Marshall. and they're 1-2 in the league. I think they'll figure it out. I think that they'll definitely figure it out. So I'd have to say they're 1, Old Dominion 2. But you know what? Let's go back. Marshall is the conference champion. Yes. They're undefeated. They've hit Old Dominion last second shot. You know, they were able to squeak one out at home against Western Kentucky last night. So we'll put them at 1. We'll put Western Kentucky 2, Old Dominion 3. UNT at 4 and UTSA at 5. I'm not going to put UTSA over us just because they beat us yesterday on a fluke shot. I'm thinking on a neutral floor, I'm taking North Texas.
Yeah, I think you got to give something to Marshall. Marshall's definitely number one with the bullet. They went to Old Dominion. They won. And they beat Western Kentucky at home. So, yeah.
And they still have Elmore.
Yeah, John Elmore, that dude, like I said, we saw him in person, and I was sitting there front row for the conference championship game, and you could tell when he decided, all right, I'm going to go win this game. This is to your point, right? Like, I don't know that we have a guy, I don't want to say that doesn't want to do that, but I don't know if we have a guy that can do it, has demonstrated that says, all right, I'm going to go win this game, right? And, like, you could see, like, it just, like, the look in his eye changed. I looked at the stats. I was like, you know, Elmore hasn't really done too much. And I think he thought the same thing. Like, all right, I need to get my team out this funk. And he decided to score like 9 straight points or something like that. And it changed the game. And we have guys with some talent. Like, I think Roosevelt Smart can be that guy, but we need to create shots for him, right? We need to set the screens, right, so he can pop out. Ryan Woolridge can get the ball and attack the rim. And if you remember the conference tournament game against Louisiana Tech, he kind of did that late, and he was like the only offense late. I'd like to see. Maybe he's that guy because he can get to the rim. He can kind of create his own shot. But not the greatest three-point shooter, not the greatest free-throw shooter. So I think that's the limit there.
For me, it comes down to Duffy, Smart, or Gibson. One of those three has to be the guy that could take over. Gibson seems like he wants to. He's struggling a little bit with his shot. Mm-hmm. Duffy was the guy that's kind of started the run against UTSA late in the game.
Yeah.
He definitely upped his game, took it to the basket, hit some big shots. He's probably the best offensive player, I think, as far as being able to get to the basket and hit the outside shots.
Yeah.
But I don't know his confidence level. Is it the same as Smart's? No. I wish it was, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, basketball is a fun game, man. You're the same guy, and one day you can make all the shots, and you know you can make all the shots, and the next day, I mean, not too much change, but you just don't think anything's going in. Just it's the weirdest thing. Like a half a second hesitancy will cost you. It's the difference between, having a clear path to the basket and then, getting a charging call, right? That's how the game is. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the overall season, right? I think for the casual fan, you're like, okay, we're good. Does that mean we're going to go to the NCAA tournament? Like, are we going to be, like, what does that mean? So, Greg, can you answer that for the casual fan?
We have a shot to go to the tournament. I think, like I said before, you look at those top 5 teams, us, UTSA, Western Kentucky, Old Dominion, Marshall. So we have a good shot. I think when you also look at how the schedule will play out with the wacky Conference USA scheduling, where if you don't know, you'll be separated. You play everybody once and you have a road opponent that you play home and away. Our road opponent is Rice, so we get to play them twice. Everybody else we play once. And then for the last 2 weeks of the season, we get separated into pods. It's like 1 through 5, 6 through 10, I think. And then there's like last 4, 11 through 14 or something like that. So we'll probably be in that top 5. So then you have to play, each one of those 4 teams. So it's going to be grueling down the stretch for all that group. You look at Old Dominion, they don't have the depth that UNT has. You look at Western Kentucky, they're very talented, probably have a little bit more depth. Marshall, they still have the best player in the conference, or one of the best players. They've been to the NCAA tournament. They know what it takes. UTSA, again, they're younger, they're well-coached, but then you get to North Texas. Nobody has the depth that we have at the guards. Guards win in tournament time. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have a big post guy that you can throw to, like Zach Simmons, but guards that can make plays down the stretch of games, those are the ones that get you to the NCAA tournament, that, you know, create the magic in the NCAA tournament. So we have as good a shot as anybody, but like I said in the hot take, somebody has to be the dude down the stretch. You know, we all thought it was Rose coming into the season until he had his injury. He's still trying, you know, to work back from that, I guess. But he's got to be the guy, or somebody else has got to step up and want to own it. You know, it's great to have a group of guys that can, you know, everybody helps out, helps balance the workload. You know, last year we were so much Roosevelt smart in conference play. It was either he was making baskets, we weren't winning games. Well, this year you have the six guys that can hit double figures. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't have to do that. But in the crunch time, we still need that guy that you're going to go to. And as much as I love Mike Miller and as much as he's been clutch, I don't know if I can trust him down the stretch of a big game to be that dude. You know, and if Roosevelt can't get back to playing with the quickness that he did last year, I don't know if I can trust him. So do I go to Duffy or is Gibson? I think the coaches kind of want it to be Gibson. Just because they like his game and his shot from the outside and his quickness. And it could be Duffy too, but again, he's kind of quiet. So I don't know if he's going to be that guy. So it'll be interesting. I think we have a great shot to make the NCAA tournament. We've got a great coach. We've got to survive the grueling run. And then to get into conference play, it'll be in Frisco. So it'll almost kind of be like our home atmosphere. So, yeah, I mean, but they could win the conference in regular season and not win the conference championship, and they still go to the NIT, which it kind of sucks, but it's still a chance to grow your brand as basketball.
Yeah, I think that I would be fine with the NIT tournament. It's the next step, right? It's CBI, which is what is that tournament? If you guys are soccer fans, I would, with my friends, I say the same thing. When, like, Arsenal wins the FA Cup, I'm like, when Arsenal's in it and they're winning the FA Cup, I say, this is the greatest cup tournament ever. When they're not in it, I'm like, who cares about the FA Cup, right? Same deal. When we're in the CBI, it's the greatest tournament ever, you know, I see, and everybody should watch it. When we're not, nah, you know, nobody cares. Same thing with NIT. We're in it, yeah, it's the greatest tournament, and it's amazing. We're not, you know.
Look. Nobody's going to go in Conference USA basketball. Nobody's going undefeated. Yeah, TSA, Marshall, nobody's going undefeated. And we're not going to lose just this game in conference play. We're going to lose probably two more games, you know, possibly even four. You just don't know. But so it's going to be who can manage that stretch, that last 2 weeks of the season, you know, who's going to win that. That's going to end up winning Conference USA.
Yeah, I think, what is it, KenPom has us projected to lose four in the league and go 22-5 on the season. You know what? That's a great situation. Given what this program was just two seasons ago, even last year we needed the final CBI run, the little three-game series to get to 20 wins. This program is moving in the right direction. And I think just, you know, I think sometimes as fans, I know I could do it, I know, you know, other people get this way. You start seeing how it could fail, you start seeing the bad about it, and I think it's important to enjoy it, you know? Like, now that I'm a dad and whatever, you know, I see my kids out there and they're just having fun. It helps me to see that and not get so, you know, hyped, like, oh, come on, we got to hit that pass. It's a good time.
No, that's me. I got two kids and I still, yesterday, I was like, just shoot the ball! Yeah. Just show that.
I think it's important to appreciate it. We're a good team. We have a good program here again, and that's relieving for the most part. It's going to be a fun tournament, a fun conference play, a conference slate is what I'm trying to say. I think the conference tournament should be fun. At the very least, it should be something like that Louisiana Tech game, that opening round game. I had a lot of people there. I think it was some luminaries were in the front row. Everybody's excited. Then we can do that again and get a win. They're just only going to build, man. And that's where it gets real fun. That's Like, there's nothing like college basketball because it's just so, it's like small and concentrated, and you feel like there's nothing else in the world happening, and it's just all in this tiny little floor here, right? Sometimes, you know, being in a stadium where it's like a football stadium, it's great, but the field's so big, there's so many people there, you're like, oh yeah, like number 33 making a play. Who is that number 33? Like, not a whole lot of people know, but you see the same guys, you see their faces, you see their reactions. There's nothing like college basketball. Like, that hype.
Yeah, there was a good one on last night. Our CBI partner, San Francisco, the Dons, yeah. They're playing well, too. I mean, they've had a better season than we have. They've lost more games, but they've beaten better quality opponents, and they may get an at-large bid. They probably should have won last night if they wanted to get that large, but, you know, they were going toe-to-toe with Gonzaga down the stretch, and the point guard, Frankie Ferrari, you know, he was making plays. Yeah. It was just good basketball to watch. You know, so it's fun when you get in those intimate atmospheres, as you said, your small, confined court, you know, every possession matters down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And when you're going back and forth, like North Texas and UTSA were, you know, for a lot of that game, it was back and forth. You know, we were making a basket, they were making a basket. You know, that's exciting basketball. You know, you're watching good teams make good plays in a big game.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to see is more of our alums really get out to go. I mean, yeah, go to Super Pit, right? Go to those. But also go to these, like, take advantage of this UTEP one, the UTSA and the Rice games. I know all the road games have passed now, but we had a good contingent there. I was at the game, the UTSA game. There was a nice contingent. I want to say all of 101, section 101 was filled up. I know I basically got a whole row. I had like 7 tickets. We were all there. You know, I brought my parents and mother-in-law, that kind of deal, and we had a good time. We were loud, like all of the green section. We were kind of quiet. I gotta say, we were a little too respectful for a conference opponent there in their floor. They had nobody on the home side. It was pretty empty, just like a smattering of students. They had their little band there. I mean, they had the advantage because they could play the PA stuff, and the guy would be like, defense. But we were pretty loud saying defense. One is our guys, and you can see that kind of sparked some of the Lamer UTSA fans. They were like, I guess we should cheer for our team, given that they're cheering for their team.
It's kind of sad because they do have a really good team, and hopefully when they get to the conference tournament, they'll have a good turnout that'll travel up there. So that'll make it even better.
Yeah. I think, like, for right now, when I'd like to see all the league teams. I'd like to see every place be a fun place to play, because that's good for North Texas. You want to have that experience for those kids, right? You want Roosevelt Smart to play in a hothouse environment, and you're like, man, going on a road to UTSA in the rinky-dinky gym, it's fun to play there because you get a lot of fans, and it's whatever. You know, all that's part of the college basketball experience, and I think that's why it's good for us, like alums, to go to those games so we can help give them that atmosphere there, right? You know?
Obviously, the toughest atmosphere that they played in this year was New Mexico. Yeah, that was probably the toughest one.
Yeah. I don't know. What was the attendance at the Oklahoma game?
The Oklahoma game?
Yeah. I think it was kind of.
They expected to beat us. And I mean, it was probably one of those games, too, where we wish we had back, because Oklahoma was ripe for the upset because they were turning the ball over, too. But we just weren't ready for the moment, and it kind of sucked.
Yeah, I was telling my mom, I was like, I don't know if I can let you come or invite you to come watch these big games, because she came over for that Oklahoma game to kind of hang out. And we're watching the game on TV, and, you know, that we lost. Then yesterday I took her to the game and we lost. I was like, you know, North Texas only lost twice, Mom. And
oh, yeah, been watching both.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
That isn't. Nope. See, I'm big in that superstitious stuff. I would have been like, nope, I'm sorry. You got to take one for the team. Yeah. You got to stay at home. She's disinvited now.
Yeah. I'm going to buy her some DVDs so you can go off
to another room. You better not take her to the conference tournament. You better pay for like a spa day or something.
Yeah. That's probably what I'm going to do. So next up, next Saturday, we don't have a Thursday game this week. We got Rice at home. That should be a good one. Rice is a sneaky good team. They're getting better. They beat Louisiana Tech, although that might say more about Louisiana Tech than anything. Rice is, what are they, 2-3 They beat Southern Miss and they beat Louisiana Tech. They got blown out the other day. Who did they lose
by to? UTSA.
By UTSA, yeah. Yeah, that was an ugly game. My point is you don't want to sleep on Rice. That's the thing you don't want to do. Rice, we got UAB. That's going to be tough. It's a Thursday game. That's at home.
They're not a good offensive team, but they've got length and they play good defense.
They have a good coach, too. I think they have a solid coach. They're kind of rebuilding. Was it Chris Bryant is their dude, right? Like their main guy, the UAB guy. And then
yeah, he's a little electric guard, Zach Bryant.
Zach Bryant, yeah. What did I say, Chris? Chris Bryant is a pitcher, right? Is he?
I don't know.
And then Middle Tennessee. You know what? Middle Tennessee's down this season, right? I hope we blow them out by like 50 or something like that, just to kind of get them back for all those Sun Belt losses, all the, you know, Conference USA losses. Just, you know, just give it to them. That's what I want
to
see.
I don't care. I just want to win. If I want to give it to anybody, I want to give it to Western Kentucky. I hate those guys. We owe them more than Middle Tennessee because they've been that pain in our ass for so long in basketball that, I mean, we always had to go to Western Kentucky to play. Mm-hmm. And then we get them in the conference tournament, and, you know, they knocked out Tony Mitchell. And then they knocked out the year that Western Kentucky went to the Sweet 16. We had a good team, too, and mm-hmm. they knocked that one out. I went to go see that game. And hot hoops and hot springs. I miss hot springs a little bit.
Frisco ain't bad. Frisco's not a bad place to watch it. I thought it was a good conference tournament there. I got to say. You know what's funny? So I went and covered the football conference championship game, right? And I was just kind of walking around talking to Middle Tennessee people, asking like why nobody was there, right? And they're like, oh, it's just probably too cold or whatever. You know, they're making excuses. But one constant that I've noticed is that no, everybody has the same excuse. They were all saying, you know what? Tournament needs to be over here in Birmingham because we got West Kentucky just 3 hours north and you know, like Nashville just right here is like 3 hours, whatever. I think they wanted it in Nashville. And I was saying, yeah, I mean, Frisco, I mean, North Texas is right there. UTSA is just, you know, 4 hours drive. Rice is just, you know, 4 hour drive. You know, Louisiana Tech has a bunch of alums there. So, like, all your reasons for having it in Nashville are the same reasons to have it in Frisco. And he's like, yeah, I guess I never thought about it that way. And I feel like there's a lot of that feeling all across the league. I wouldn't hate it if they rotated and we had, you know, like 1 year in Nashville, 1 year in Frisco, that kind of deal, just to kind of balance it out. Would you say, generally speaking, the East in, well, what's the East in football division, you know, Marshall, Western Kentucky, Old Dominion, they care a little bit more about basketball than they do football. And then the Western division, right, North Texas, UTSA, UTEP, Louisiana Tech, UAB, care more about football than they do basketball, generally speaking. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't agree with that because the guys in the West, I mean, UTEP has probably been better at basketball than they have football. I mean, they've won a national championship. UTSA, they've gone to the tournament before when they were in the Southland. Us, we were more basketball there for a while with Johnny Jones. Yeah, we've got Seth Luttrell doing good things in football too. UAB, I think.
Well, I don't want to just say performance. I'm also just kind of saying general feeling. Like, to the average fan, the average Metroplex fan, the average San Antonio area fan, average El Paso, and, you know, if football's doing good, are they going to be more excited? Or if basketball's being good, are they going to be more excited? You know what I mean? That's kind of, I'm just kind of looking from the support level. I mean, I played basketball in high school primarily.
Yeah, obviously, for UTSA, yeah. If they're doing better at football, they're going to be more excited about that. Just jerks about football and fan base anyways. I think if UTEP was doing better basketball, if they were doing equally well in basketball and football, I think more people would be excited about basketball out there.
Just because of the history. Just
my feeling. UAB, I think basketball too. I think their history maybe is a little bit better in basketball than it is in football.
But would you say Alabama as a state is a basketball state or is that a football state?
Well, yeah, it's a football state, but I think UAB for, you know, the program.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I get it.
Their fans didn't really show up for football games anyways. And
well, I mean, don't say that on Twitter, man. Then like 80,000, Birmingham dudes are like, no, look at this screenshot. You can clearly see that there's 80 people in this row. And okay.
So now we're getting into the Trump screenshots of, fan bases and rallies here.
That's what they do, man. It was just kind of a thought I had. This is a good conference. It's a good conference. You see some good games. I don't want to get too much into,
breakdown of fan bases. When you look at Western Kentucky, Marshall, Old Dominion, those blue bloods in basketball in the mid majors. Yeah. I guess you could say they probably care more about basketball than they do football.
Yeah.
But on the west side, we have good programs with good history too. So
yeah, I would say that. I think when you look at the facilities, though, right? UTSA is obvious the worst one. I like the Super Pit, but it's not as nice as the what is the arena called? The Constant Center? Is that what it's called? The Old Dominion's, whatever one? There's a
super nice. And nobody got what the Old Dominion has. They got a really nice arena.
Yeah, it's super nice. And then, you get my point. I think Western Kentucky clearly cares more about basketball than they do football because they had two championship games and like nobody showed up. When they were good and they were they had an NFL quarterback and an amazing head coach and they're like, yeah, no, I don't really want to watch that game. I think the Metroplex cares about basketball, but I think their first basketball love is probably the Mavericks, and I think the Super Pit, even when it was rocking, didn't really fill up that well. But you can see North Texas football is really, when they're good, we already sold it out, a couple times, hit program record just the past season. I think we're a football school, and that's fine. I understand it, but I think we do support basketball.
If you built a new stadium or a new arena in basketball, nicer, kind of like SMU, what they did with Moody when they, their renovations to it, and then they became good at basketball. Maybe we don't draw the same attendance that SMU would, selling it out or packing it, but I think that the attendance would probably be better. I like the Pit, too. It's nice. I mean, it's just a little bit older and dingier, and it doesn't feel like an intimate atmosphere, like some of the smaller schools, so... I'd like to maybe reduce the size down just a little bit, not much. We have it, it's at 10,000 is the attendance now. So maybe like 7 is the tops. Look what Texas, they're in the Irwin Center. They're going to take that away. That's 16,000 something. They're going to go down to 10,000. So,
yeah, that sounds about right. I think you want to create some demand. So I think we averaged 4,000. During the height of the Johnny Jones era, the year we beat Texas Tech, and was that the year we lost in the final Arkansas UALR one. But that season we averaged 4,000, right? And that's good, but that's 40% of the Pit's capacity, right? You go down to 5,000, all of a sudden that's 80% capacity, and that smaller venue, that place is rocking. It goes from, hey, this is a good crowd and pretty loud, to this is an intimidating place to play, right? Like, you go to the new Pit, whatever they're gonna call it, and they got 4,000 people in there, and the students going crazy. That's a crazy place to play, and I think you really turn up the home court advantage and you kind of change the game. Then if you're recruiting, you go to that, you're like, man, this is, it's like Duke East over here, right? Everybody's going crazy or something like that. Like, that's what you want.
Yeah, I think that's they're the way not caring about, oh, there's only 5,000 people here. It's, oh, there's 5,000 people that are, going batshit crazy right now, and I can't hear my thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
That's what, if I was a recruit, that's what I would care about. That's what I would want to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there was, I think the attendance at the UTSA game was 2,600. I think that was the official one. I think some of that was kind of skewed by the, some other tickets there, because the home side was empty. You couldn't see that from TV, but it was just empty. It's like the student section, there's nobody there. Our side was pretty full, I thought. I couldn't see above me. They have like the whatever area up there.
There was really nobody sitting up there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was laughing at the VIP area, which is exactly like this other area. It just they wrote the VIP on it. Just people hanging out. So yeah, these Conference USA has some room to improve, right? I'd like to see UTSA get another place. Same kind of deal. They probably can go down to 5,000 capacity, make that a better place to watch the game. But we had a good time. That's the most important part. And I'm glad North Texas came back, almost completed the comeback. That was fun. It was fun seeing the whole little green section get loud and cheer.
I know. Apple Watch hit me with a little heart rate alert, said you're over 120 and you're sitting down. You know, I've been getting that a lot because the Browns games were giving that to me. You know, this was the first UNT basketball game that got me this so far this season. If they keep playing like they're doing, I mean, I'm going to have more of those. So,
yeah, you're going to have to eat healthy and, you know, exercise right so you can enjoy UNT basketball healthily and safely.
Hey, just because my heart rate's going because I'm excited about the game, that don't mean I'm not doing things healthy.
I'm just saying, you got to make sure. Yeah, I was thinking about that. My dad's like, you want me to get you a beer? And I was like, yeah, I probably should just get water right now. I don't want to say so. There's children running. I don't want to say something crazy with the way that these refs are calling this game. You know,
you don't want to tell them to go back to Foot Locker. Don't want to be that dude being escorted out of the gym.
No, I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, I've had family members be escorted out of gyms that I've played in. So
that's the Go Decker way. I did get a chuckle. I don't know who it was. He chuckled. Was it somebody's shooting? And I yelled out, "It's okay if you miss." And then I don't know if you missed, but we got some chuckles. So my heckling game is still there. I got to say it's good. I think the problem with sitting in the media section so often is that I'm just watching the game. I don't get to yell.
You can't show emotion. See, that was so difficult for me with the basketball tournament last year. I just wanted to stand up and say something.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about done. I think there was we've answered all the questions. I had some people, like, all right, who's our best player? That's kind of a difficult question to answer because we have 5-6 guys that can score 10 a game or can score more than that. I mean, Mike Miller scored 35 this year. Last year, Roosevelt Smart had 42. But I would say Roosevelt Smart, can get the hottest hand and he can go off because he could shoot so well. And
I would say Ryan Woolridge is the best overall player, but best offensive player in my mind is Jordan Duffy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's kind of difficult to – in what respect? Because I think, I think Zach Simmons is a lot for this team. So there's that. Are we good? Yes, we're good. Are we one of the best in this league? Yes, top five probably. And on a given night, I think we can beat anybody. But this league is also in college basketball is that way that anybody can jump up and beat you. So, we got a big game coming up. I think the UAB game is going to be tough. I think Rice is going to be pretty tough also. Just if we're not ready to play, we come out. So UAB is going to be tough. Old Dominion on the road end of this month. That's going to be a big game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they're tough. They're physical. They like to slow it down too. So they like to play sort of the way we like to play, but they're just bigger and they're going
to
beat us up a little bit.
You said we don't like to run. I'll disagree. I think we run when we can.
Yeah.
I do think that Grant likes to push it some, but if we start, getting like yesterday where you're turning the ball over too much, slow it down. Let's take our time. Let's get a good shot. Those type of things. So Old Dominion, the way that they play, yeah, they're very physical. We tend to foul a lot, but again, our depth, I like it versus anybody in the conference.
Yeah, I agree with you. Old Dominion, if there are two guys, BJ Stith, I think he's a son of an NBA player or something like that, a nephew or something, and Ahmad Caver. If those guys are not on, then Old Dominion struggles. Then they have to, like you said, they don't really have a whole lot of depth. They graduated a couple guys, and their big dude, Trey Porter, if you remember him last year from the conference tournament, he left and went to Nevada. If they don't have their two big guns there, it's tough. But that's a trip going out there to Old Dominion, and, they beat Syracuse already. They had a tough loss against Marshall, and then last night, was it last night they lost? Yeah, or Thursday night, they lost to Florida Atlantic. It was good. Did Anthony Adrian score a lot of points in that one?
I don't know, but Old Dominion, they only won by one yesterday, so they almost lost two. So
yeah, FIU, like I said, I think they're a team that knows what they want to do and are trying to execute it. Those are the teams that I think if you want to put anybody in the tier, there's like the good teams that have talent and know what they want to do and execute it, and then there's the teams that have talent, and then the teams that know what they want to do. Right, those kind they can kind of swap on a given night. Right, if sometimes you're just out talented. Right, if LeBron James is having an off day, but I'm playing him one on one, he's still probably gonna beat me in basketball just because he's just so much more talented than me. teams that have enough talent and execute and do what they want to do and know what they want to do, like I was saying earlier, they're like 3% faster because they're just, you know, speed of thought, right? They're tough. And I think FIU, they're on their way to do that. They have a new coach. I think FAU has a new coach. Charlotte has a new coach. Who else has a new squad? Middle Tennessee. Yeah, and then Rice had a new coach last year, but it looks like they're buying into it a little bit more this year. I don't know.
Yeah, conference offense efficiency, they're number two behind Marshall. North Texas is at number three. And then you look at conference efficiency on defense, UTSA is number one, UTEP number two, UAB number three coming up on our schedule.
Yeah. We are, what, eighth?
Eighth.
I think we just fouled.
We would be higher if we only didn't foul as much.
Yeah, I agree. I think UTSA got bailed out a few times, getting to the line and on some questionable things there. Here's the other part about that final shot. I know casual fans, like I said, I was watching the game. The guy in front of me, UTSA guy in front of me, was watching the playoff game, Colts and Chiefs, the whole time. Like, he didn't care about nothing until the final shot. Then he like got it on video. So now he's going to put that on Instagram and be like, look at me, I'm such a big fan. I was watching the game. But here's the deal. So for those guys that they only watch, you know, certain plays, you're like, oh, well, North Texas allowed a offensive rebound. I think we only allowed five all game, five offensive rebounds by UTSA. We forced Jackson into a tough three-pointer. He missed it. We came up second on that play. And I know if you're the coach, you're going to be like, oh, we got to get that rebound. But, you know, it's not like they were trying or they were just getting out rebounded all game. Ball just bounced their way. They got the ball. Okay, fine. Let's play defense. We hold Javon Jackson to a miracle turnaround travel call, where he had to spin, shoot it one-handed, fall into his right. Basketball favors the offense, right? If you are capable of throwing a full-length 94-feet shot into the rim, right, one-handed, every time you can make that, there's very little that the defense could do to stop that, right? That if you can get it off, you know, you have a chance. It favors the offense, right? That's the way it works. All you can do is play good defense. I think Javon Jackson said that he was trying to do a one dribble pull-up. Great defense, forcing him into stumbling with the ball, losing the ball, and having to go to, you know, his third option on the shot. He probably would like to have pump faked and then, you know, something else. But that's good defense. Yeah. That's all you can ask of the team, and that's what you can say. That was a good job by North Texas. You got beat by a miracle shot. That's college basketball. That's what happens. But so all you can do is give yourself a chance. They did that. So good job, yeah. North Texas.
I mean, as a referee in that situation there, what are you looking for on the last second shot? You're looking for, did the defender make contact with the offensive player on the hand, wrist, or whatever? And did he get the ball off in time? Yep. Those are probably the two most important things they're looking for. They're not looking at his feet. Yes, he traveled, and the referee should have called it, but the ref wasn't looking at his feet because he was focused elsewhere. So, I mean, it is what it is.
I mean, I agree with you. I know, I understand what you're saying. I will say this, though. I think if you watch a lot of basketball, and obviously the refs do, you can see, like, an unnatural movement. And, like, when he spun like that, I was like, there's no way he could have done that without traveling, like the way he did it. Like, it just looked like a travel. And I know that's not a standard, whatever, but
maybe the ref is a fan of James Harden. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, in a Conference USA basketball game on a Saturday in January, you're not going to get the greatest referees. I know it. You know it. That's fine. That's part of the game. That's part of what makes it fun if we're being honest, right? You know, you get some weird stuff, and it's not the end of the world. It's fine. That's not what lost them the game. You know, like we said, maybe 1,000 too many pump fakes probably helped them lose the game more than that specific play. But you know, whatever.
I'm pretty sure that referee was betting on that game too. So.
I like that. I wish it would have went overtime. That would have been fun. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate all your feedback. I know I got some feedback. I reached out to you guys. You don't have to wait for me to email you asking you what you think of the site and how your feelings are there. You can email us. You can send us a message. You can be like, you know what? We need more Greg on the show. He's better. And we probably need less of Adam. If that's your opinion, you can let me know. Greg, if you want
to
let me know.
I don't think that's going to be anybody's opinion, but all right.
Just email. It's podcast@mingreennation.com. Thanks to Greg for jumping on, finding some time today to do it. I think you got rid of your wife and children. Is that what happened? You sent them away?
They ran away from me.
Okay. All that screaming and yelling?
Being too much of an ass, and they had to just get away.
Yeah. Thanks for joining. You guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Coming green.